other yak babies. Sex, presidents, and sometimes books.
Oh, welcome to Yak Babies, everyone. I'm so glad you're here. My name is Aaron. I'm here with my personal pals, Dave.
Hi, Aaron.
Brick.
Hi, Aaron.
Nico.
Hi, Aaron.
Did I mention this is the only podcast sponsored by books? I don't think I did. Well, just so you know, this is the only podcast sponsored by books.
Officially on the internet.
On the internet, yes, officially.
And movies?
We haven't secured the movies sponsorship yet. We're in negotiations.
That's why we're doing this.
Yeah, we got to see how this podcast goes.
Yeah, we got flip books and we got dirty cartoons, but we're working on movies. It's hard, but we're almost there.
Dirty cartoons is a big one. That's new, right? Dirty
Hell cartoons. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. We haven't mentioned flip books yet, but it's an important one.
Does that include bathroom stall graffiti?
Yes.
I hope it does.
And okay. Tijuana Bibles.
Oh, good.
Yeah, yeah. All today's topic is that self-same genre movies. Brick, tell us more about it.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about movies and TV, I think, especially lately. TV series have become fairly popular in this regard, which is adaptations of books.
Motion pictures.
Yeah, moving the talkies. Mm-hmm. My general thought is, for the most part, they're bad. For the most part, they do not live up, in my opinion, to their source material.
Adaptations of books.
You know, it's almost like a super trite thing to be like, well, the book was better, you know. But my general question was, despite the fact that more often than not, they aren't as good and sometimes miss the mark completely, if not often, we tend to look forward to them and get excited when an adaptation of a book we like is coming out. I know not all of you agree with my thesis about most of them being bad. So maybe we can start and just talk about what are some ones that stand out to us, either as good or bad, and then do you guys agree with me?
One of the worst adaptations probably of a book to film or movie or TV rather that I can think of that's close to my own heart is The Martian Chronicles. It was made into a TV series, miniseries in the 80s, maybe late 70s, and it is god-awful. I love it, for sure, but it's terrible.
What's The Martian Chronicles?
It's a Ray Bradbury story collection, linked stories. It's hard to kind of describe what it is, actually.
One of your favorite books, though.
Absolutely,
right, yeah.
One of my all-time favorites. I've read it maybe the most of any book I've read, probably, Martian Chronicles. The movie or TV show is, or series is just the pits. It cannot capture, it tries in vain to capture the sort of weight of the Bradbury stories. It ends up being sort of like a really bad translation of Twilight Zone. It's cheesy and the effects are bad and the sort of seriousness is lost and it's just nothing worth watching.
Has anyone ever made a movie out of Fahrenheit 451?
Yeah.
And how was that?
Jean-Luc
Truffaut. Yeah, François Truffaut made
François Truffaut, sorry.
Yeah, that's great. Really good in the late 60s.
It's super weird.
Yeah, it's super weird. I want to say, gosh, I think Julie Christie maybe is in it. And Oscar Werner, I think, is the main character. He plays Guy Montag. It's good. It's really good. It's weird and it's kind of, you know, he's neutral as a French New Wave director. So it has that kind of like vibe to it, but it's pretty good. Apparently, there's a one came out recently from HBO with Michael B. Jordan as Guy Montag that was supposed to be
what?
Dog shit. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I heard it was really bad. I didn't watch it, but nothing I heard about it was good. Everyone said it was trash, which is too bad. I know for a long time Spielberg wanted to make his version of it, but I think that's long since gone by the wayside. So yeah, that's a bad example for sure.
Remember the made-for-TV Brave New World with Peter Gallagher?
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
It was not good.
Yeah, it sounds bad. Yeah. I don't think there's any good Brave New Worlds I can think of. I mean, there's tons of bad examples. Yeah,
has it ever made into a movie proper, Brave New World?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I should put a pin on that, maybe.
I feel like it was back in the 50s or 60s.
Oh, yeah, maybe a really old one. But if it has, I haven't seen it.
Mm.
And I like that book a lot, so it's something I would.
Yeah, I'd be interested in that for sure.
So when I started thinking about books, or I'm sorry, movies that I felt were better than the books, I kind of found this recurring theme of genre fiction that most of the movies that I came up with that were better than the books were in genre fiction. And I don't know, maybe that has something to do with increasingly even our abilities with special effects and just like action. And I guess maybe, and we don't have to waste time on it, but like how are we defining better? I guess I'm going with more entertaining, but just like a few quick examples. Like I remember I really enjoyed the movie The Hunt for Red October, and then I read the Tom Clancy book and it was like full of just like super boring technical stuff about submarines. It's like, well, why did he do that? And then, like, I know, Brick, you mentioned Jurassic Park. You liked the book better. I thought the movie was more entertaining.
That one's kind of on the fence. I wouldn't go so far as to say that I think the movie is probably better as Jurassic Park. But when I was talking about that, I wouldn't say Jurassic Park's a bad book. So a lot of times, I think it's easy to take a bad book and make it into a entertaining movie. But I think it's hard to take a good book and make it into a better movie, I guess is what I'm saying.
Interesting. I feel like even more on Crichton, like Congo is a bad movie, but that's a horrible book.
Yeah, Congo's a bad book and a bad movie.
Just garbage. I feel like all of Grisham's movies are more entertaining than their books.
Yeah, Grisham's terrible though, like as a writer.
Yeah. I've never read a Bourne movie, I mean book, but I imagine that those movies are more entertaining than those books, because those movies, like for action movies, are way above average. But what about The Shining, Aaron?
I reread
a few years ago.
Yeah, I prefer the movie to the book of Shining, which is not to say The Shining is a bad book at all. I think The Shining is a good book, but I think that the movie is better and gets into the themes in a more interesting way, maybe.
And he takes a lot of liberties, maybe, with the material, but...
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah. I mean, Stephen King famously hated the movie version that Kubrick made, and then he later collaborated on his own TV version of The Shining with Steven Weber that has just gone awful.
I think that one was closer to the plot, but it missed the thematics, I think.
Yeah, and I think there are defenders of the TV movie out there who will say it's better than the Kubrick movie, but I'm not sure if that's just like a...
That's tough. That's a tough road to hoe.
Yeah. I mean, there's that tendency of like people to like all of a sudden be boosters of the Star Wars prequels because it's like we've had a decade now of hate.
Those movies are objectively bad. I watched them recently.
Yeah.
They're just busy.
Yeah. You watched all of them?
Yeah.
There's a class of people, not a class, but like a group of people online who will defend them and say they're better than the originals.
That's gross.
But it seems like just like a reaction to a reaction.
Yeah.
So like when I was in high school, I got really into Stanley Kubrick, and all of Kubrick's movies, I think, are adapted from literature. And I was pretty diligent about tracking down the original material and reading it and trying to compare it. So a lot of the comparisons I have are those kinds of movies. But like Clockwork Orange, for instance, I think the movie is better than the book.
Kubrick is also an outlier, though, where he is the...
Yeah, he's better than most of...
Yeah, he was just so... Like, his work was just so... I don't know. I don't know what about it. What, like, you know, my favorite book's Lolita. Mm-hmm. It's impossible to take what was great about that book and convert it accurately to a movie. But Kubrick's Lolita is a great fucking movie.
Yes.
And it gets the essence of the book pretty well while also being its own thing.
Yeah, they're different for sure.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, like trying to make a movie version of Lolita is like a crazy task. It would be like trying to adapt.
Well, there's two.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, like, to make an actually good one, I guess.
Yeah. A faithful one.
Yeah. It's impossible because what's good about that book really is the writing.
Yeah.
Well, I wondered if what's so good, I mean, what makes literary fiction so much harder to adapt, if we agree that that's true. I don't know. That's just my running thesis based on very little experience. But so much of what makes good literary fiction is how internalized it is, which feels like that's more difficult.
Yeah, I mean, that's hard to put on film anyway, just by the nature of the medium, without being super fucking boring. So an example that I hadn't thought of before, but is a good example, is Ender's Game. Hmm. That movie's fine. It hits all the plot points. The special effects are pretty good and the acting's not awful, but I don't think anyone's going to be like, yeah, that's a great movie. Hmm. You know, it's fine. We've talked about the book plenty, despite the author being a douchebag. I love that book. And a lot of what's good about that book is the ethical and moral exercises it puts the characters through. And those things, they were there in the movie, but they didn't have the... It's much harder to identify with a character in a movie, particularly an action-focused movie, than it is in a book.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of it. With Kubrick, you know, he took known things for the most part.
Almost always.
Almost always, I think. Or always.
I think always.
I don't think he had anything totally original, did he?
His first film, Fear and Desire, was original.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
A couple of early ones, Killer's Kiss and The Killing, were original, I think. But yeah, Lolita, major work. Lolita, Doctor Strangelove, Clockwork Orange, 2001: A Space Odyssey, Full Metal Jacket, Barry Lyndon, Eyes Wide Shut, all based on on literature.
What was Eyes Wide Shut based on?
Novel called, what's it called? The translation is Dream Novel, I think. It's like a modernist dream odyssey kind of novella. Fuck, what's the guy's name? I can't remember. Either French or Austrian, maybe?
But he took known things and he kind of like distilled them down and then made his own interpretation of them, right? And I think rather than interpretation, at least in my opinion, too often movie versions and TV versions just try and replicate the thing in a different medium. And I think that's where the trouble comes, especially when they make changes that don't have any purpose. You know, obviously, if you're making a movie, you have to shorten it.
Yeah,
for the most part, in some way, just for lengthening. Right. Even with a TV series, you have to, though you have more room. What had me thinking about this topic when we started was I just watched the BBC like CGI series of Watership Down on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
And this is the second time that they've tried in the last, 5 years, because there was recently a cartoon series for Watership Down, also on the BBC. It was like, what?
In the 70s, I think, right?
No, there was a movie in the 70s. It was actually pretty good.
Yeah, it's great.
So the movie in the 70s is great. It cuts things, but it doesn't change things.
Yeah.
Not really. Only a little. But it gets the point across, and it seems to understand what was good about that book and what was important and convey it accurately. There was, I think, in 2012 or something, there was a cartoon version. And then again this year. And they make changes that not only don't really seem to have a point, but they work against the plot and themes of the book and not in a way that betters them. So for instance, I think in both of them, certainly in the CGI one, they change one of the rabbits they meet early on, Strawberry, into a girl, which is fine. Except for the entire driving plot of the second two-thirds of Watership Down is they established a new home and they're all dudes. And they need to, in order to make this last more than a generation, they need to find female rabbits.
Right.
And so by adding one in, so then they changes the dynamics of some characters where two of them are fighting over Strawberry. And then suddenly, they're like, we got to go find more or it's going to get weird because everyone's going to be after Strawberry. And it's like, this is not, it's strange. It changes things where suddenly all the rabbits are thinking about taking advantage of one of their own to have babies. And it's like, this is a dynamic that doesn't need to be in here when really the thing was, a political analog.
Right.
So, and it's fine to make those changes if you got something to say, I think, but it didn't have anything to say. It just kind of muddied it.
To me, I think the main difference is if whether it's a director or maybe a group of people, but somebody who has an idea, who wants to make kind of a work that stands on its own, that's based on the book but not necessarily an adaptation of it. Fight Club is a better movie than a book. I think Wonder Absolutely. Boys is a better movie than a book. And those have very strong, David Fincher is the director of Fight Club. That's a very strong director with a very clear vision. And Wonder Boys is similar. I think Wonder Boys,
Trainspotting too.
Yeah, those kind of almost mainstream auteur kind of directors are kind of lightning rods for those adaptations that are as good or better than the books. Whereas most of Stephen King's adaptations are garbage.
Yeah,
because they're just the impetus for it isn't a director, it's a channel or something. It's ABC's we need to adapt The Langoliers into a TV movie, and then we'll just hire some guy to direct it. And it's this sucks. It's a plane lands and nobody's around. It's for 4 fucking hours. It's painful.
Right. Compare that to Shawshank Redemption, though. That's one of the few Kings. Though I feel like we've maybe done too much Stephen King in the past few months, we talked about. But Wonder Boys is one of my favorite examples. I think that's a very good book that was a better movie an endlessly entertaining movie.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal movie.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It's not just the material that's there, but it's also they have a great cast. They have a very well cast. Everybody does well in their role and adds to each of the roles, like fleshes it out. So that for me is like the high watermark of like a literary novel that gets directed into a better movie.
Yeah, me too. When I was thinking of this genre versus literary, Wonder Boys is the one that stuck out. But Brick, you said at the beginning of the episode that when you hear about a book you like being adapted, you get excited. And I kind of have the opposite reaction. So can you talk about that a little bit? And like maybe when, like where does this excitement come from? And then when has it been met and when has it been dashed? Because it sounds like maybe it's been dashed
for me. It's almost never met.
Yeah,
but I think,
and yet you still get excited when it happens.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious, you know, like you want to. It's one of those things where you kind of want it to be good, but there's also I think there's, it's pretentious, but I think there's satisfaction to be found in making the comparison and knowing the difference. You got kind of that insider. You know, if you're watching a movie, you're like, oh, I know this book better than they know the movie, or why did they make that change or whatever else. I think there's something entertaining about that.
Yeah, there's something about sort of seeing a thing that you have spent a long time thinking about or fixating on brought to life for better or ill just to have the conversation about it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Aaron, my question for you is, it's one of the most common movie transitions that happens nowadays is comic books.
Yeah, for sure.
So how do you feel about those? Like how do you feel that comes off?
Yeah, it's that's the exact thing that I was talking about. It's like it's thrilling to see sort of characters that you've thought about and sort of seen on the page brought to life. It's different with comics because in a novel or a short story you are, you know, imagining things and there is no visual document to sort of anchor you, whereas in a comic you have things that are sort of literally drawn out for you. It's almost like storyboarding, but it is still exciting to sort of see those stories come to life. And you know, most comic book movies these days are adapted from some kind of origin point in the literature. There's some story or even a germ of a story being adapted and modified in different ways. So part of it is sort of looking at those differences and comparing and sort of filling out for yourself. But also it's, I don't know, there's a childlike, and I'm sure it is a specific kind of sort of childlike obsession with seeing the things that you cared about coming to life in front of your eyes.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's a validation of sort.
Yeah, you know, it feels like Victor Frankenstein to some extent. Like, you didn't do it yourself, but it's like seeing your creation, like,
yeah,
moving in front of you.
I could tell you, I think still to this day, if there has been one, I can't think of it. There's never been a good video game movie. In fact, most of them are epically bad, like the Mario Brothers, which is actually, but it can be fun in its badness.
What about the Bob Hoskins one?
That's the one I'm talking about, the Bob Hoskins yeah. Mario Brothers movie with John Leguizamo. It's brutal. It has nothing to do with anything, and it was just a super flop. And then there's all those like weird Uwe Boll movies.
Yeah, I mean Street Fighter with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Right, they're just
Guile,
and part of it is I think it's almost impossible,
yeah,
especially with older video games to convey it because it's an experience that feels very personal, and when you take someone else's vision of it, it's crazy, but and not in a good way.
That's also like a wildly different even medium. It's not even a different genre. It's like a different,
right? Exactly.
It's a different whole thing.
But then there's the, like, for instance, Nico, The Witcher is a book that was adapted into an excellent game.
Yeah.
One of the best of the last long time, if not forevers.
Yeah.
And it's a very narrative-heavy game, you know? The characters are there. You can steer them and you can, you know, adjust personalities minorly, but you're kind of along for the ride. But that is going to be a Netflix series.
Yeah. And that's going to be interesting.
There's no way that's going to be good, right? But
that's the thing. It's like you're always like,
but you want to, I mean, I want to watch it.
You're always like, yeah, it's like you're just a fucking drug addict coming back for another fix. Like,
right.
Well,
yes.
But I mean, maybe it doesn't suck. Maybe it will be okay. And I mean, yeah, there's, I would say an 80% chance that it's disappointing because also, like, The Witcher, like, so there were three games that were based on a series of Polish novels. And I think the third game is probably the best video game I've ever played. The first two are, like, fine. The third one is just amazing.
Yeah.
And it's going to be, like, so what is the TV show going to be based on? Is it going to be based on that game, or is it going to be based on the novels, or... what? And it's kind of similar with the Sisters Brothers. Like, that's going to be a movie. It's coming out. It is a movie.
Apparently, it came out already.
Apparently, it's out.
Oh, yeah. Fucking hell.
At the end of last year. It was good, too. I liked it a lot.
You, what? You
yeah,
saw it?
I did see it, yeah.
Holy shit. He hasn't read the book, though, so we can't compare.
I have not read the book, yes. But I really enjoyed the movie. I thought it was fantastic. And maybe you want to read the book, actually.
The book is outstanding. So, yeah. It's one of those books that you, like, reading it, I can't think of how they would have the nuance and the kind of the depth that the book has, because it's one of those books where there's a lot that's implied and there's a lot that's unsaid.
Yeah.
But it comes across in ways that, like, a lot of books try for and miss.
Yeah.
So that's
probably the case too. I can sort of imagine a couple of points that were lightly touched on in the movie that I'm sure are bigger parts of the novel, just because you can sort of tell that there wasn't enough time to develop it fully.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed it, and I would be curious to see sort of, yeah, what my experience in the novel is. One kind of ancillary or sort of subtopic here that I wanted to bring up before we move on from this episode, just real quick, is that in this sort of media culture environment with adaptations, there's a trend now towards adapting especially novels into TV shows that then continue on after the novel has ended. So, and it's kind of like becoming a weird feedback loop where Handmaid's Tale was made into a TV series and then had a second season sort of
leftovers.
Off. Yeah. And then now Margaret Atwood has announced the plans to write a sequel to The Handmaid's Tale.
Based on the series?
Not based on the series, running. No. Sort of like her, like she's like her taking the next steps, whatever.
A novelization of season two.
Yeah, right.
And gross.
I feel like if it hadn't been for the TV show, that probably wouldn't have happened, right? And I can see a world where Margaret Atwood sort of comes back to Hands Pale, especially in this current political environment, and sees a need for a second take on it. And it's not that outrageous, but it does feel like that's in some ways motivated by new attention and discussion about that novel generated by the TV show.
Yeah.
And Margaret Atwood's kind of an outlier, though. Like, I feel like...
Yeah, sure.
She does weird shit.
Yeah.
No matter what's going on.
Well, I've always kind of been weirded out by TV shows that are based on novels, like, for instance, The Leftovers.
Yep.
And trying to imagine Tom Perrotta. I know he was involved with the show, so I guess it's, you know, he's in control to some extent. But still, the feeling of having constructed a novel and created characters and guided it to a point where you felt like there was resolution or satisfaction to what you're trying to accomplish, and knowing how difficult that is. And then having someone take it from you and then add on to it and say it's not finished and there's more to come. It seems really frustrating. And I can't imagine what must go on in the author's mind being like, I thought I'd finish this. And like, I was content with how it ended, maybe. Or maybe they aren't. Maybe that's part of the problem is it's not the sense of the content. I feel like it'd be very troubling to have someone take your story and say, oh, there's more chapters here. You just didn't get to them. It's like, but I did actually, and I kind of ended it where I wanted to end it. And that kind of ties into our discussion of endings too.
I feel like The Leftovers was pretty capably adapted. Like, so I don't think they really overstepped, and they only did, what, 3 seasons? Like, they didn't lost it out where it was like 10 seasons or it's The Walking Dead. And it's like just endless, and it's clearly never gonna end until the viewership numbers go down.
Yeah.
And then sometimes, like, so Dave was talking about earlier the genre adaptations, and I think those, when they get adapted into TV shows, can actually be way not only better but like more extended. Like, so the example I would point to is Bosch on Amazon. And that's adapted from Michael Connelly books. And Michael Connelly is a terrible writer. He's a James Patterson level, like, shitty fucking procedural writer. But the Bosch shows are great. Like, there are some of the best detective TV shows that are coming out. Like, they're like, I would say, probably a full step below The Wire, but they're in the same category. And based on the source material, like, you wouldn't even believe it.
Interesting.
But I know we're running real short on time, and maybe this is a topic worth maybe its own discussion, but can you guys think real quick of any movie that has enhanced your appreciation or even understanding of the book that it was based on?
I mean, I would go back to the Wonder Boys and Fight Club. I think Fight Club was a movie where the director not only adapted the source material but kind of rearranged it so that it was more it had a better flow, I think. And then going, I think I watched the movie before I read the book, and I read the book and I was like, ah, this is clearly not as good.
It doesn't really count because it's drama anyway, but Shakespeare movies.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a good one, actually.
And particularly the Brana ones really helped me appreciate some of, not appreciate, but it helped me visualize maybe, or, you know, because it's very easy when reading Shakespeare, like the battle scenes play out much similarly as just like the conversations in a room scenes, you know, and seeing them depicted on screen, or even more so the Kurosawa movies that adapt Shakespeare into fucking samurai wars. Like those things are great, you know, and while those ones don't keep the scripts, obviously, but like the Brana ones did. So I don't really like the Leo DiCaprio Hamlet. Romeo and Juliet. I don't really like that one. I've used it in teaching, and that can really help kids contextualize stuff that's a little more abstract.
Yeah.
In its delivery, just when presented as text.
Yeah. One movie that I think sort of worked in tandem with the book. I don't know if it enhanced it, but sort of like definitely they worked together to make the story in my mind is In Cold Blood. The movie is fantastic, and I like the book as well, and they sort of work together to make that story a bit more whole or complete in different ways, and I think they're both really good. Before we wrap up, one quick detail. I mentioned earlier the Brave New World adaptations. There is a new one coming out from the Sci-Fi Channel, and it's being adapted by Grant Morrison, who is a favorite writer of myself especially, and we've mentioned him a lot on the Act Babies, so curious to see how that turns out. I'll definitely watch it for sure, because I like both that book and I love Grant Morrison. Well, let us know your sort of thoughts on adaptations of literature into film or TV. Tell us your favorites, your least favorites, your in-between favorites, whatever's going on at Yak Babies on Twitter, yakbabiespodcast@gmail.com. And if you are one of those listeners who wants to hear the bonus material, the sort of extra stuff we record that we don't always include in the main feed because it's too gross, we're calling it Yuck Babies. Go to patreon.com/yakbabies for one singular dollar, which is like less than anything, less than a cup of coffee, less than any other treat you probably have for yourself in your life. $1 is all we're asking for you to get access to a bunch of really disgusting content. That's where you can put that dollar to good use. Scrap around, look for your change in your couch, or look around on the street. Get the dollar, and then you can get bonus episodes. Games, Bro to Bros, all kinds of stuff is happening on Patreon. Check that out. Until then, Yak Babies, yakking off. I know you had enough, so I call your bluff. Why you wait for me? I haven't got a clue what I'm supposed to do, and there's no direction I can point to. Never me. I was a construct of your contusion, desperate to believe what you hoped to be, but it only led to confusion. Expectations, they sometimes burn you, and they spurn the moves you make. So walk away from your conclusions and your illusions.
soon will fade. So take me as I am, doing what I can, and just like you, I am broken. I'm trying to make a stand in my house of sand, and my eyes once shut now are open. I